Morning. Today we are continuing our topic of stealing of customers, and we have another interesting scenario that was posed to the author of the Sefer Mishnas Yoshua. And it went as follows. There was a who was in a store. He was buying a sofa for his living room. And B, his friend comes in and sees that he has A has made a decision. He's going to buy a sofa. He decided on the design and the color and the size. He's going to buy it at the price of the catalog. His decision is made. Now B sees what he's about to buy, and B knows that that sofa, the exact sofa, is available for less expensive at a different store. And the question now is, should B tell A that that sofa is available at a brighter price? Should he? Can he? Is he obligated to tell A that he can get that sofa at a better price, knowing that if he tells A that fact, A will not buy it from the current store, and the current store owner, a Jew, will lose out on that parnasa because A will inevitably buy that sofa at the other store? So that was the question that was posed. And his in the analysis of the Mishnah Yoshua, he has three primary points. Number one, he brings a quote from the Sefer Chavetz Chaim in the Halachas of Rechilus as follows, that if there is somebody who knows that two people want to partner together, so we'll say A and B want to partner together, and C knows that they're going to partner, and C goes over to one of them, let's say C goes over to A, and he says something about B, and that causes A to not want to partner with B anymore. So once again, C knows that A and B want to partner together, and C, he doesn't think it's a good idea. He goes and says to A, A, I got to tell you something about B. And as a result of that disclosure, A decides to not partner together with B. Says the Chafetz Chaim, this is worse than ani hamehafech becharara uba acher venatla denikra rasha. What is that talking about? It's referring to a Gemara that if we have an ani, a four person, and we'll take it literally, and then we'll explain what it means in concept. If we have an ani, he's making an attempt to take possession of a charara, a piece of cake that is hefker, it's ownerless on the floor. So that's ani ma'afet becharara ubach acher v'natla. And somebody else comes and grabs it. Well, that poor person is making efforts. He's running over. He's spending time and effort to get that piece of cake, to get that opportunity, we would say, and somebody else seizes that opportunity, that second person is a rasha. First person is putting in effort, he's putting in time, and the second person sees it. Why are you grabbing his opportunity as represented by that piece of cake? So the Chafetz Chaim says that that is a situation. The second person takes that cake because he's benefiting from that cake. He seizes that opportunity because he's benefiting from that opportunity. And here, in our situation that we have A and B partnering together, and C busts it up by telling A something negative about B, he says, this is even worse. Why is it even worse than that situation, Ani Hamafech Bacharar, the second person stealing that piece of cake? Because at least there, B was having a benefit from taking that piece of cake. But here, when C says something negative, something pejorative about B to A, he's having no benefit. And that's even worse. He's not doing it for Parnassa. He's not doing it for any benefit of him. He's simply doing it in a destructive way. And accordingly, that's why when C tells A that information about B and ruins that partnership, it's worse than the situation of B taking that piece of cake, seizing that opportunity, because at least B was benefiting from it. So that is point number one. Point number two, as part of his analysis, he springs from the Tshuvas Maaseis Binyamin and the Tshuvas Chacham Sofer, another poskim as well. Shegam kasher monea kone batuach mehamocher. When somebody prevents a purchaser from buying something from a seller, and it was certain that he was going to buy it. He was going to buy that item, and somebody else comes and prevents it. He tells that purchaser, don't buy it from him. That is similar, that's the same situation of a Gemara that talks about, and we've seen it before, of Dagim. What is the situation of Dagim? That we have a fisherman, and the fisherman has set up his net, and he's fishing, he's got bait inside of it, and the second fisherman comes and sets up a net not too far away. In fact, Allah says that second fisherman has to set up elsewhere. First fisherman, that's his fishing zone. He has a right for 2.5 miles, about 8,000 amas, to set up. B, fisherman number two, has to distance himself. Why? Because he's effectively taking away the fish from A, either because those fish are indeed A's or because A is certain that those are his fish, even if they're not in his net yet. So the same thing applies when you have a purchaser and the seller of the good to that purchaser is certain that purchaser is going to buy and somebody else comes along and dissuades somehow that purchaser from buying. That is just like the case of the dogim, that we say the second fisherman, you need to distance yourself away. So too, this person is coming to dissuade the sale. You need to not do that. You need to distance yourself and let the transaction go through, because indeed we had a committed purchaser, we had a committed seller, and we know that seller was relying on that purchaser. That's issue number two when discussing our sofa situation, that we have B coming in and sees A wants to buy that sofa. We'll say that it's Reuven who wants to buy that sofa, and Shimon comes in and knows that sofa is available elsewhere for a lower price. So in fact, we are in violation of what the Chafetz Chaim said. Chafetz Chaim says, don't bust up that partnership. So too here, we shouldn't tell Shimon, don't bust up the sale. Reuven is committed. He decided to buy it. Price was agreed to, even though he can get it cheaper. And it's also the violation of the Gemara with the fisherman. This is effectively the second fisherman coming in who is taking those fish, even though he's not taking from the sale, but at least he's ruining it for the first fisherman. Now, the Mishnah Yeshua does say something important. He says, this that we're saying that the Shimon is not allowed to give Reuven advice, don't buy that sofa because it is available for cheaper elsewhere, that is only the situation where Reuven, the purchaser, has made the decision, I am going to buy the sofa. He knows the price, he knows all the details, he made the decision, he's going to buy it. However, in a situation that the purchaser, the Reuven, has not decided he's going to buy it, accordingly, we do not have a committed purchaser, and the seller of that sofa is not certain. He's not batuach that he has his fish in his net. He's not certain that he will have a sale here, and accordingly, lechatchila, it would be acceptable for Shimon to tell Reuven, you can buy that sofa elsewhere. And not only is it okay for him to do, maybe it is advisable for him to do that. Why? Because he would be enabling Reuven to buy that purchaser for less. He's helping him save money. Accordingly, this is the psak of the Mishnah Sheyoshua to pull this all together. Im hakonek far gvarma da'ato liknos ba'osachanus. If the purchaser, he's in there, he wants to look at that, he's considering that sofa. If he has already decided, I am buying the sofa, he's a committed fish, he's a committed purchaser, it would be prohibited for Shimon to tell him about the other store that's selling the same sofa for a lower price. Why? Because he's taking away a purchaser from the seller of that sofa, and that seller was batuach, was confident, or certain that he had a sale. Accordingly, it would be just like the second fisherman taking away the fish from the first fisherman. That would be absolutely prohibited. However, on the other hand, if that purchaser, the Reuven, has not decided yet to buy that sofa, in such a situation, it would be mutar lechatchila for Shimon to tell him about the availability of that sofa elsewhere, and maybe even it's preferable. Maybe even it's a wise thing for him to do, is to tell him about the availability of that sofa elsewhere. Now, an exception to this is, even if there is a decision made by Reuven that he's going to buy from that sofa from the seller, but either the seller is overcharging halachically you can only charge up to 16 2/3% of the market price, so approximately 17%, that's the Isra of Onah. If he is charging above that, that's possibility number one, or possibility number two, that Shimon knows that there is a fault in that sofa or the other item that's being sold. He knows that there's a defect in it. Accordingly, in those situations that the sofa is being sold at way too high a price, or it's a defective good, in that situation, Shimon would actually have a mitzvah. Not only would it be permitted or would it be preferable, but he has a mitzvah to inform Reuven of the facts and situation. You have to know that he's overcharging you. Halachically, you have to know that there's a defect in this couch. And this couch, in any case, is available elsewhere at a lower price, and I advise you to buy it elsewhere. So that is the psak of the Mishnah's Yeshua. On a high level, if the purchaser is committed, he's made his decision, don't get involved. If he has not made a decision yet, then it would be permitted to give him the full information that the item is available at a lower cost elsewhere. Have a wonderful day.